Brent.
Travis, happy Monday. How are you?
I'm doing great. I love Mondays. I don't care what Garfield says.
Wow, that's that may be the most controversial statement made so far on our podcast. You love Mondays?
It helps that I have an internet job. And so, like, my Mondays are like, oh, yeah, all my shows go up today. And people love them. And that helps a lot. It's Monday isn't like, go back to work. It's more like, for me, Monday is sense of purpose day that I don't really get on Saturday and Sunday.
I hear what you're saying. For me, it was a day about getting a prescription filled. Because, Travis, I found out a fun fact. Did you know that you can not only get pink eye from a bacterial or viral infection, you can also get a form of pink eye from allergic reactions?
I didn't know that, but as long as I can't get it via podcast, then I think I'll be okay.
Well, I can't promise anything.
I mean, I hope you're okay too, but I'm worried about me.
I just look like Quasimodo on half my face, and it's, you know, making me self-conscious. It's going to be okay. The lesson is this. Don't rub your eye when you're having a reaction to a cat if you're allergic, because what that can do is bury a tiny bit of dander into your eye flesh and make your eye red for a week. So,
man, you learn lots of new things here.
This has been Fun Facts with Brent and his eyeball. See you next time.
So this week, Brent and I were talking a little bit before recording about which story we would do, and what we found we had lots of little stories, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't have anything that really deserved its own Monday minisode, so instead, we're going to do a weekend news roundup. Brent, do you want to go first? Do you want me to do first?
You could go ahead and start.
Okay, so the thing that probably everybody found plastered all over their Facebooks yesterday was the supermoon, blood moon, lunar eclipse moon thing. And basically what we were looking at least from our point in the hemisphere, I don't know if this was everybody, but basically what we were looking at was we had a supermoon, which happens when the moon is at its perigee, which is the spot. So the moon's orbit around the Earth is an oval, right? So when the moon is closest to the Earth at the thin part of the oval, the moon looks very big because it is bigger than normal because it's closer to us. And so that was happening, and on top of that, there was also a lunar eclipse, which was the last in a series of four spanning over the last 2 years, which is a phenomenon called a tetrid. And a tetrid can be very rare or can be very common. That's not important to the story. But what is important to the story, the last supermoon lunar eclipse occurred 33 years ago. So it was kind of a big deal. It happened before either of us were born. So people were kind of crawling all over themselves to talk about it. And just so you know, the blood moon is the rusty red orange color that the moon turns is once it's completely in the Earth's shadow. The shadow isn't perfect. So faint sunbeams sneak around the shadow's edge and they kind of make it the color of a sunset and it makes it look very scary. And as you might imagine, some people talked about how beautiful it was. Some people talked about how it, you know, how it heralded the end times. But all in all, it was just a weird lunar phenomenon that for some reason Facebook really wanted everyone to talk about.
I wonder if they have, like, if on the moon they have, like, a blood Earth or a super Earth. That's got to be a thing there, right? Like, if they set up a webcam on the moon, like, eventually you'd, I don't know, maybe that's kind of like a, sounds like a hippie, you know, marijuana kind of thought. But I'm curious now, like, if the Earth gets purplish now and then for moon beings, little moon men.
Yes. What have you got, Brent?
Okay, well, in the world of politics, Speaker of the House John Boehner resigns after quite a long run in Congress and a 5-year run as Speaker of the House. He had a tumultuous relationship with super conservatives in Congress over his 5 years as Speaker. He was repeatedly attacked by conservative Republicans for, you know, being too willing to compromise with President Obama.
By being too willing to do his job.
Exactly, exactly. And conservatives have been calling for his head, well, some of them anyway, for a while. And he told reporters he was stepping aside to avoid another brewing House battle over his leadership. And this is just another example of how nothing in this 2016 presidential election cycle is predictable. Between Donald Trump's reign as the Republican frontrunner, Bernie Sanders' surprising momentum on the left, the political laws of physics barely apply lately, and it's just very exciting.
It just occurred to me, is he stepping down as the speaker, or is like stepping down from his political career entirely?
Okay, he is leaving Congress. John Boehner is leaving Congress entirely. So, and John Boehner is leaving Congress, and he's had 25 years in politics. So, I mean, you know, he's had a good run. He's not a spring chicken. He's going to go, you know, play some golf and probably start enjoying his life for the first time in a while.
I saw some people hypothesize that he was stepping down so he could run. It doesn't seem like that's the case. I doubt that there would be an outsider looking at the Republican candidate situation right now and going, I want to get in on that.
I would be shocked, because the whole thing with Boehner is he was always trying to hold both sides of the aisle together. And for that, he got in trouble from the Republican base, which is conservatives. So the
idea, to be fair, also from the Democrats, I don't think anybody really liked the fact that he was trying to, like, the only reporting you saw was like not strong enough or not willing to compromise enough.
Right. Like this guy's in a position where he really had a hard time making anyone happy. And it's not that I feel awful for him, because personally, I don't agree with a lot of his politics. But having, you know, I listen to political podcasts and read political news from all different viewpoints. And like, he's had a really tough job, because like you said, really, he hasn't been able to make anyone happy because of all the viewpoints that he has to deal with. But as far as him wading into the election, I would be not just shocked, I would be shocked if he got in, because he's just so not what the base wants. And you wouldn't think that, yeah, I'm just gonna go ahead and say, I would bet my life Boehner's not getting in the race.
All right, if Boehner runs, I get to kill Brent. So our next story, water on Mars. Now, I want to be clear. I think that this was misleading. I think there are people who have maybe forgotten that scientists had already established that there was water on Mars. The story is that there is liquid water on Mars.
Right. Recently it's been flowing.
Yes, because it's been known for a while that there were like polar ice caps, right? But like, this is what they found, is these streaks of kind of minerals and dirt flowing down mountains on Mars that could only happen if it was water. And so even then, it's not like somebody landed on Mars, picked up a scoop of water and said, we found it. It's they've used context clues and photographs and video surveillance and all that stuff to figure out like, oh, okay, there's water flowing on Mars. Now, the important thing to keep in mind is that the water is incredibly heavy in salt. And that's what keeps it from freezing solid.
And that's why Martians are always so puffy and bloated.
Yeah. Think about like the Dead Sea, right? This idea of it being so, you know, thick with salt that they're not sure it would be able to sustain life. But it is one more kind of building block in the hypothesis that there is life on Mars in some form or fashion. Now, what I really love about this story, and the first thing that popped in my head as I was reading about it, was we've been studying Mars for, you know, as long as we've had telescopes and we've been interested in Mars, right? And yeah. So for it to take this long before we've been able to say, like, oh, water, it really gives credence to this idea of whenever somebody says, if there was life on other planets, wouldn't we have found it by now? No.
Well, again, not at all. It really comes down to what you consider life. I mean, intelligent, sentient life is one thing. But, like, what water implies, not really, you know, water doesn't really directly imply bipedal humanoid creatures, but there's a lot of tiny microscopic things that can live in water. There are microbes that can live on a comet, you know, that they can live in the vacuum of space. So,
well, it's not, also, anybody who's ever watched one of the deep ocean documentaries by Attenborough, like, you can, like, they find all of these creatures in, like, the deep, 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 deep ocean and have only recently discovered them, like, in the last, like, 25 years. And that's on our own planet. So it's just the more that we find out about other planets, the more that we're able to study other planets. I'm just saying that it kind of gives a little bit more strength to the argument that, I don't know, there's probably life out there. Why wouldn't there be?
I find it interesting that, like, if my history is correct, in the 50s and 60s, there was kind of this, I don't know, this national lore in sci-fi, in all kinds of things, like about Martians. There was an there's a TV show called My Favorite Martian. You know, like movies about killer things from Mars. And yet that kind of went away. It's almost like when we went to the moon, somehow culture kind of grew up and went like, no, there's no life on Mars. We'd know about it or whatever. And like, it's weird that we're like coming back around to that, not from, you know, cultural lore or speculation, but because of science. So way to go, science.
Speaking of science, tell me about the Pope.
Well, so Pope Francis had his first papal visit to the United States this last week, and he covered a lot of ground. And
he
frankly,
went to Disney World, he hung out at Six Flags. Guy is a roller coaster nut.
You know, it's funny. Some of our listeners probably... Travis was joking, not to condescend, but the one of the few places he didn't go was, in fact, Six Flags. But he did wade into some thorny political debates, as well as being, you know, the vicar of Christ or whatever. Sometimes his political messages were blunt, like when he pleaded before the U.S. Congress for Americans to end hostility toward immigrants. But other times they were more subtle, like his climate-conscious decision to ride around in a tiny Fiat rather than an SUV. And a lot of conservatives are suddenly kind of anti-Pope now, which, I don't know. To me, the lesson, and this is very cynical, but it's that, you know, political operatives believe in their politics first and their religion second. Even the Catholic ones, you know.
And it's important to note, like, I was talking with Teresa about this yesterday, and let me be clear here. Neither Brent nor I are Catholic, so there's nothing in this that has anything to do with theology. This is more about, like, the politics of the religion, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Pope Francis, he's a very progressive pope, and I think he's made that impression on a lot of people. And, frankly, he says a lot of things that I like, where he'll say something and I'm like, oh man, he's doing a lot for the public image of the Catholic Church in 2015. You know what I mean? Like, he's doing a lot for it. That said, he was also today asked some questions, like, for example, about not directly about Kim Davis, but more about political figures acting on their beliefs rather than the law. And he defended it. He was like, well, that's human right to do, you know, what your conscience tells you to do.
Well, that's the thing. He used the phrase conscientious objector, that being a conscientious objector is a right, which, you know, maybe there's a translation issue, but that's a really, I don't even know how to categorize that as a political belief. Like,
right?
Of course, free speech.
I feel
but
I wanted him to, say, like, yeah, object all you want. If you disagree with it, resign. Like,
Right.
That's kind of what I expected him to say. And once again, this was being translated by just like, I think the quote I read was like pool translators.
Yeah.
So not like super high end, his personal chosen translators. So it might have just been poorly translated. But also, like, he was asked about if there would ever be female priests. And he was like, no, that can never happen.
That's
and
the
was
thing.
Pretty firm on it.
I think a lot of liberals and liberal-leaning people really like the idea that this pope is on their side. But saying that he's a very progressive pope is like, yeah, it's like saying the valedictorian of summer school. He's still the pope. It's still Catholicism. Yeah. It's not like suddenly...
Well, and that's what I said to Teresa yesterday. Like, he still has to be popely. He can't, like, even if his, like, honest beliefs were like, everybody be chill, who the fuck cares? Like, he can't roll out and say that. And, you know, he's a religious leader for a reason. He was chosen to lead the Catholic Church. So a little bit of it is like, if you're the president, like, I know Obama's way cooler than some of the stuff he has to, like, get up and say and laws he has to pass and stuff, because that's his job. The Pope's job is to be the Pope.
But it's
diametrically opposed to, like, I watch him as the, you know, he's in his motorcade and he sees a baby dressed up like the Pope and cracks up and, like, has the baby come over, well, you know, has the baby brought over and, like, blesses and kisses the baby while he's laughing. And I see that and I'm like, what a cool dude. And then he's like, there will never be female priests. And I'm like, oh.
I mean, look, you know, baby steps. I think that this Pope is a lot closer to the kind of person that, you know, a fairly progressive, perhaps young, perhaps urban American could have a beer with and actually kind of enjoy themselves. But that doesn't mean he's not the Pope of, you know, the Holy See, the Roman Catholic Church.
So let's talk about what perhaps was captured the public's attention for a full 10 minutes. Pizza Rat. For those of you that missed it, the 0.002% of people that missed it, Pizza Rat is a viral video of a pizza, a viral video of a rat dragging a slice of pizza down a set of subway stairs.
I was going to say, the opposite would have been way more exciting.
Oh, God, if a pizza were dragging a rat, man, that'd be awesome. And that's it. Like, near the end of the video, the rat kind of abandons the pizza, but then it's, like, still clearly checking out while being filmed, unsure as to how to proceed. And we all hope that when the video ends, the rat grabs the pizza. It's, you know, people shared it and said it's like, this is all about those who dare to dream. And some people were like, this is fucking disgusting. And lots and lots and lots of people thought they were very original and clever by saying that he was just taking the pizza home to his four Ninja Turtles. Very funny. All 1,000 of you who made that joke every 60 seconds.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting thing, Brent, that you might not know.
Okay.
There is a company, and I believe it's pronounced Jukin Media, or Jukin Media, J-U-K-I-N, who what they do is they buy the rights to viral videos and then distribute them to outlets. So they're basically a viral video middleman.
Ugh.
So they very quickly, when Pizza Rat still only had about 2,500 views, bought the rights to Pizza Rat. So when people were posting, if you posted Pizza Rat and like on your YouTube or on a Facebook and earned any money through that, just really posted it at all, they were sending out, you know, desist letters and claiming the profits to anybody who was making money off of it.
I don't know how I feel about this. Look, as someone who, you know, for me to get my one click on YouTube sometimes is like 50 or 60 man hours of work to get a music video together. So yeah, sometimes I'm very jealous that somebody happened to be at the right place at the right time and got a viral video. But at the same time, the idea of that viral video having some litigious agent, it just feels gross and it feels slimy and it feels like the happy birthday story we did last Thursday, and I don't like that. Here's what I will say about Pizza Rat. As a New Yorker, this is one of those stories that gets big because it was an amazing piece of video, but like, I live in New York City. I've seen a rat the size of a fucking pizza. They just didn't get a video of it because your first instinct when you see that rat is to run for your life. So it's cool or whatever. It was very cute, but like, there's a lot of rats doing a lot of shit in New York City. Don't get too excited.
So I think that's going to do it for us this week. That was our roundup. I hope you feel well-rounded. Thank you very much. We want to say thank you to everybody who listened to this episode, everybody who's been telling their friends about it, all the wonderful tweets we've been getting, and all of the wonderful reviews and stuff we've been getting on iTunes. We really appreciate it. If you like the show, share the tweet that we tweeted this episode out in, or go on iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. It really helps. It helps, you know, bump us up the iTunes charts. It helps people find us. What else, Brent?
Our Facebook group is up to 919 members. I think we can get to 1,000 by the end of this week. It's a great group. There's lots of cool discussion, lots of stories that you get to find out about before you even hear about it on the podcast. You can actually contribute to, honestly, our opinions about it, because we want to know what you think. So check out the group. It's called the Trends Like These Appreciation Group. Just go to Facebook and put Trends Like These in the search bar. You can't miss it. And help us hit that 1,000 member goal by the end of this week.
We also appreciate everyone who's donated to the Trends Like These Improvement Fund. It really goes a long way. A lot of work goes into this show, a lot of prep, a lot of research, and then there's hosting fees and all that kind of stuff. You know, putting out two episodes a week can get a little bit grueling, but knowing that you guys care enough to help support the show really helps inspire us and push us to keep putting the show out there for you. I want to say thank you to Aaron, Zachary, and Justin for your donations this week, and
thank
everybody who's
so
donated
much
in the past.
Thanks.
And if you would like to donate, you can go to trendslikethese.com, the greatest website on the internet ever. and click the donate button, and PayPal us a couple bucks, $1, $5, $10, anything you can spare. We appreciate it all. It makes us feel really good to see it up there, and it means a lot to us. So thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Brent, am I forgetting anything?
Yes, Travis, you are forgetting that we need to go and buy the rights to a bunch of videos of kittens.
Well, there you have it, folks. Brent and I are going to go start our own startup middleman company thing. But we'll be back in a couple days.
See you Thursday.